This is Jerry Bingham, host of Hush Loudly on WGN Plus.
I think that people should embrace if they are an introvert, and if anybody has ever told them that, you know, you probably shouldn't do that, it's really a reflection on them of how they see you, but not a reflection on how you see you. And so it's important for you to recognize, what do I really bring to the world? Hi there, Dr. Veronica Appleton, scholar, media executive, children's author, and an introvert. You are listening to Hush Loudly on WGN.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Hush Loudly. I have another fabulous, amazing person in my midst, and I'd like to introduce you. Her name is Veronica Appleton. And we're just going to kind of just jump around, and I think you'll get to learn a little bit more about her through this conversation. But let me just first say, Veronica, are you an introvert or have introvert-leaning tendencies?
Absolutely. I tend to identify as someone that is an ambivert. And so there's many times where I'm super introverted. I have nothing to say. I have many thoughts, but not yet ready to express them. And then there's other times where I'm a bit more extroverted, where I'm more personable with people. I feel excited about something. I'm ready to just jump in there and make it happen. And so I probably play into a lot of the things that we would typically see with people that get introverted and into their shell and not yet ready to share what's on their mind. But then also those that will just say whatever is on my mind because I'm comfortable. So certainly an ambivert, but I think that also probably just relates to who I am just day to day and all the different spaces that I work and play in.
It's funny. So the experts say that there is, although I keep labeling us as introverts, but the experts say that no one is 100% introverted or 100% extroverted. And we all have both. And depending on our station in life, what we're doing, whatever, because I am definitely more extroverted at work. And so we are both, and that we may have a preference or we lean a certain way. And so most of us are introvert leaning. And just like we're all on the scale. So some introverts are shy, and shy is different from being an introvert. That's more of a fear of something, whereas introversion typically is more the way you prefer to gain energy or what drains you. And like you said, you kind of said so many things already. We have so much going on in our heads. And it's like, I feel like I'm just so random sometimes because I'll be talking about something and something else will come. But my friends get me, you know, people, they get you. But we are processing usually very differently in our heads. And sometimes it's ready to come out and sometimes it's not. And that's why I like doing this podcast and especially talking to companies and organizations who better need to understand the workings of their individuals, of their employees. Because according to research, half the world is introverted. The latest number is 57.6%. And of that, almost 60%, some of us don't know it. Some of us know it, love it, embrace it, own it, know how to use it to our advantage. Some of us know it and are masquerading as extroverts, which I did in my 20s. I definitely tried to be like other people and found out that's not working for me. And then there's, I think, another third who, because of the stigma of the word introvert, they don't want to associate with that. They don't want to claim that identity because usually when you ask someone what an introvert is, they say a hermit, antisocial, don't like people, can't speak publicly, can't speak up. And that's just not the case. But that stigma is there. So nobody wants to associate with that. So I love talking about this and people will say to me, you're not an introvert. And I am. I just, first of all, your definition of an introvert may be inaccurate. And then secondly, when I'm passionate about something, which many of us are, we can talk all day and all night. And then also when we're around our people, you know, we can go. I know I have that with me where I have my crowd of people and I can go on and on and talk them to death. But if you put me in a group of people, maybe not so much. It just depends. So it's funny when I ask people what they think they are, the different kinds of responses that I get. And I wanted to ask you about when you said sometimes you're really introverted, what is that? How does that manifest? What do you mean?
Well, you know, Jerry, I have to acknowledge some of your previous points, because what you just shared is what society has told us so long of what the varying characteristics are of someone that's introverted, someone that is extroverted, and someone that plays into a lot of the either myths associated with both types of categorizations with someone that may identify as introverted or extroverted. But I would kind of pressure test that just a little bit. You know, research does show that our minds are kind of an automatic categorization vehicle. So what that basically states is that from everything that we've experienced, from all the people that we've met, our mind will automatically categorize someone in a certain bucket.
Mm-hmm. And so bias.
It's the biases, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. which then form into stereotypes, which then forms into varying types of ways that you may communicate with someone because of those stereotypes. And then that becomes prejudices, that becomes discrimination, so on and so forth. So when we talk about the spectrum of how damaging it could be to categorize someone when you automatically meet them, that's a kind of a really, really scary topic. To bring it back just for a second, I think the differences between being introverted and extroverted is also that pressure test to intersectionality that I don't think that a lot of people always connect, right? Oftentimes when we talk about intersectionality, maybe we could date it all the way back to the 1800s where we talk about, you know, Dr. Anna Cooper, who was one of the first Black women to say, hey, I have an education, I'm Black, and I'm a woman. Something is different here. Something's going on here. You fast forward to several studies done by Harvard University, done by Duke University, done by all these different universities, and then you get to UCLA with a woman who has developed the podcast Intersectionality Matters. And I think that's something so beautiful about Dr. Kimberly Crenshaw's work is that she said, hey, you know, I am all of the different types of identities that I am when I walk into a room. That's been the sexy version of intersectionality that we've heard, but there's also this critical layer of intersectionality, which is the injustices associated with how I may categorize myself as Black, as woman, as any form of political affiliation, religious affiliation, so on and so forth. And that critical piece is how I show up for others that may be experiencing certain things. And so again, although we're getting on the deep end of the conversation of what we're talking about here, I think that when people automatically categorize you as being shy, kind of a hermit, distant as an introvert, it's really harmful for anyone that was even thinking about showing more of themselves, because now I need to go back in my cocoon.
Yeah,
because it's not going to be advantageous for me to share any more about how great I really am. So to go back to your original question of how do I see myself and what does those introverted tendencies look like for me? It looks like reserving what I have to say until I allow those either in the room to give their opinion. It's kind of like almost like a little bit of a courtesy to other people. And I hadn't even noticed that until I took the DISC assessment, which is, you know, a way for me to just kind of figure it out a little more. And so I'm more of a capital S-I, where I am a little more connected to what others want to say. My characteristics are more about problem solving, but I want to hear everyone's voices before I problem solve. I want to make sure that we're all coming with the same alignment. I am not really hung up on the task. I'm more hung up on the strategy. I want to see more of the bigger picture. So I have more of a macro view, but I can get micro when I need to. And then there's also other qualities where I'm listening way more than I'm talking. Although I'm talking a lot right now because I was asked a question. So I tend to listen more. And I tend to reserve for more of a thoughtful answer to come out of my mouth before I actually just jump in and say, okay, well, let me hook everybody with this one quick little thought that I had. I tend to just be a little more subtle.
And how has that worked for you?
I think it's been phenomenal.
I know it has. I know it has. Phenomenal. It's like you are in my head, and this is the stuff I'm talking about. And that's why it's like when I was looking at your LinkedIn profile, it's like you became a vice president in like third grade. It kind of seems like every job. I'm serious, y'all. It's like every job she's had, she's been at, you know, the vice president level, senior vice president level. She has her PhD. We didn't go into all of that, but she obviously is phenomenal. You can tell, and very educated and well-versed on various topics, especially what we're talking about, diversity, intersectionality, inclusion, all of this good stuff. But I am so excited because, and I've done some research, and in my research, I talked about intersectionality. So I interviewed Black introverted women in leadership positions in higher education. And the reason I do this is it goes back to, I think this is going to be a really long interview. I'm sorry, y'all. And then I'm not. So I used to work at Leo Burnett, and I think I mentioned that to you, or maybe I didn't. And that is where I had my first Myers-Briggs. And so, you know, when you ever do that assessment, for those who don't know, and she mentioned the DISC, it's kind of like a personality sort of assessment profile type thing. And a lot of companies do it to help with team engagement, leadership, whatever. And so they separated us. I was in this group called the Idea Lab, and Brenda Williams, my favorite boss to this day, still my favorite job, but we were separated, and I got separated. I was in this group of, to me, the most cool, creative, weird, different. They were the people that were like the gods, and I'm using that with a lower G, like they were it. And I was like, oh, my God, how did I end up in this group? Because I didn't think that much of myself, because I felt like I was lacking. You know, the world around me was very extroverted and very animated. And so I didn't have the confidence that I have now. And it was such an empowering thing. And then with the facilitator going through kind of, you know, my attributes, and it all helped open so many doors for me. Plus, my amazing boss helped open. And I remember her saying some things to me that I just needed to hear from someone other than my parents, because I heard all the good stuff from my parents. And I think I got to this podcast and to this place because I kept excelling. I kept getting promoted. Every job, the quieter person, the person that wasn't grandstanding on stage, but sitting back, listening, observing, making sure that I am keeping in mind what's best for the group and how we can move forward and reach that vision and all of this stuff. And how did I keep getting promoted, right? And every job I went to, but yet society is saying introverts are less than. And that kind of led me to where I am today. And in my just being out there talking about introversion, of course, I noticed. So every time someone states publicly, meaning a celebrity or famous person, I keep a running list. And I would get more and more excited. Like when Oprah came out and said she was an introvert, and Eddie Murphy, and of course, Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, all of those people, they didn't surprise me as much. But Viola Davis, Shonda Rhimes, all of these people that are at the top of their games in various industries, Tom Hanks, Meryl Streep, are introverts, have come out and have said that they are introverts. And so there's something there. And that is the reason for this podcast. And I'm talking too much and you're my guest. But I'm excited. My heart is beating over here because you're saying everything that I want you to say without me having to make you say it or pull it out. You're saying it because you feel it, because it's in you. Unfortunately, we aren't all valued, I think, at first glance, or because people underestimate us, which actually has worked to my advantage. Because when you underestimate me and I do one little thing, you think I'm a genius. I'm not a genius. I'm just listening and observing, and you underestimated me. But the reason for this podcast is what I experienced up into my 20s. I want those younger people and those who didn't get the exposure that I got to understand their value and their worth. And in like the research that I conducted, the first thing that came out from every woman that I talked to was listening, just what you said. When I asked about sort of what was your secret sauce or what helped you get to the vice presidency or president role of a college or university? What helped? The number one thing that every person said was listening. The second thing was observing, observation. Then it came empathy, thoughtfulness.
Yes.
You said all of that in just the few seconds that we've been talking, and the intersection of being introverted with other considered marginalized identities, I think, make us so amazing. And I don't usually toot my own horn, but, you know, we're kind of amazing, you know, and we're doing great things. And Veronica teaches at DePaul, and her resume is quite extensive. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and what you do and what you love, even the volunteerism part of you, because that's another thing I found. Look at me, I'm still talking. We tend to take positions where we are serving or making an impact. And I'm not taking anything away from anyone else, but my entire career has been nonprofit and higher ed, except for Leo Burnett and Golan Harris. I was there for a little bit. But those were the boot camps that I needed to get into marketing, PR, and communications. And so that was beautiful for me and my career. But we tend to lean toward something where we are serving and helping and supporting others. So tell us a little bit about your career and your books. We have so much to talk about.
Well, you know, being an introvert is all the things that you had just described. But I also think even if we put aside, you know, introvert versus extrovert, ambivert, X, Y, and Z, like even if we just go to the standard of being a human, all of us humans, right? Maslow told us best, right? Years ago, said, hey, we have needs. And those needs can be social and psychological and physiological, so on and so forth. And so at a basic level, we all want to feel appreciated. We want to feel heard. We want to feel as if the other person on the other end, whether that's virtual or in person, is giving us some recognition that they are using all of their senses. We want to feel, we want to touch, we want to just connect. And so if the other human on that other end is doing that, then we feel as if we've communicated properly what we needed to communicate, and we're going to get done what we said that we were going to get done. And then on the other end, they can get what they need, they can get what they want. That's just the exchange of communication. That's just the exchange of how we behave as people. Somewhere along the lines, because of our world and because of history, all of that just got a little muddy. And that's just being kind with my words.
Yes, right now. You're being very kind.
Being very kind. Again, a tendency of an introvert, right?
Yes.
It's that, you know, you want to be considerate of others, and you want to provide empathy and kindness and providing gratitude. But my therapist, she may say, well, Veronica, that's your, you know, codependency, and that's your people-pleasing appeal, right? Is that you do care so much that sometimes it could be framed in the sense of people pleasing. And so, obviously, as a trained scholar, I often have to look at every side of an issue because there's so many positives, yet there's so many things to consider that could be deemed as negative of like, well, when does being an introvert go bad? Or when does an extrovert become bad? One end of the spectrum would being an extrovert could be leaning toward narcissism. One end of being an introvert could be towards the end of people pleasing. How do you create the balance between the two? You really just be yourself. And every role that I've had as an educator, as an executive working in media and advertising, as a children's author, like something that I love so much, all of it matters through communicating, being a storyteller, connecting people, really just feeling as if I'm making a difference. And so that feels like impact to me, including all of the boards that I sit on, of just feeling connected to something bigger than myself. And that was what I was always taught, right? I was, you know, born into a home, my mother, one of 14, come from a single parent background. There was no other choice but to make it and to do it. And so there are many things that I've been able to do way before I even turned 35, or arguably even before I turned 30. And now that I'm 6 years into 30, okay. It feels slightly different. And a lot of times I look back and I'm just like, whoa. Okay, Veronica, what do you want to do next? Maybe you should sit down.
Maybe
not. So I tell myself often to sit down, to process, to reflect, to be very introspective of mm-hmm. myself. And then that really does allow me to come back into the world and to be fulfilled again, and to identify more ways to create impact, to connect with people, to create solutions for the companies that I work with, for all of the different things, and to connect with kids and their families, and to read my children books, and to work with creative teams, and to curate teams that can create these stories visually of diverse families and diverse characters. So in many ways, I do feel like I get a chance to start over every single time when I take on a new project, or if I get a chance to design a new course. It does feel like a breath of fresh air of feeling like I got this. So that makes me excited, and it does make me happy. But there are many times where the introverted Veronica will sit in a moment of solitude, and then I'm strategizing. And so strategy is also a beautiful symptom
of being
introverted. And I think that people should embrace if they are an introvert. And if anybody has ever told them that, hey, you know, you probably shouldn't do that, or, you know, someone on the other end is playing into all of the things that they've heard, all the myths that they've heard of what introverts do. Well, they haven't spent enough time either with themselves, or they haven't spent enough time with other people and building deeper relationships with people. And so it's really a reflection on them of how they see you, but not a reflection on how you see you. And so it's important for you to recognize, what do I really bring to the world? And again, right, not everybody is meant to, you know, run the country. Not everybody is meant to be, you know, a civil rights attorney. No one is ever meant to be a teacher. And whatever the case may be, whatever someone's profession may be, that shouldn't be the leading view of how you see yourself. Everything else that you do outside of work, that's really you. Now, that also shapes how you show up in a workplace too. Because how you are at home, if you are not creating psychological safety in your home, you're definitely not going to create it in the workplace. If you're not being kind to your introverted children, you're not going to be kind to introverted humans that you work with. If you are not kind to yourself, knowing that you're an introvert, but you fake it like you're an extrovert, how are you going to be kind to anyone else? And so it's important that how we show up outside of work, it definitely plays a role in how we show up when we eventually come back to work.
Yeah.
And even in our social spaces, if you come across a friend that is more introverted, welcome them with open arms. Get them excited about talking to you. Give them something, a topic to discuss. But I also think it's the strength of a relationship, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if you can't naturally just talk about a whole bunch of stuff and just kiki with your friends, there ain't no kiki going on.
Right.
You're not going to do that. So
right. It's natural. It's organic. And some people are your people and some are not. And it's no big deal. But what I do like to talk about and would like to talk to you more about is in the workplace. So the big thing that came out in my research was about how, well, I'll just start with me. Most jobs, people will tell me 3 months in, they'll say, "You are so nice. You are so sweet. I thought you were mean." Mean. So that stuck with me. Why would you think I was mean? They'd say, "I don't know." Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, being introspective and reflective, like, what could I have possibly done? Mm-hmm. Heard it so much, much, much more. And as I started talking to other Black introverted women, I figured it out. And back to what you were talking about with the biases, the unconscious bias and the categorization and the stereotype. So if I come into a workplace and I'm not very vocal, I'm not sharing my life, I don't have a bunch of pictures in my office, I'm not telling you what I did last night or where I'm going this weekend, because I just don't care for you to know. That's just me. I keep things to myself. I keep my personal life personal and my work life. They're just separate. And so I'm coming off as reserved, and people tell me I have a poker face. I don't think so, but I've heard it enough where they can't read me. And so it clicked one day. Oh, so it's because they see my brown face. And so it's the stereotypical, maybe angry black woman. So maybe that's where the mean came from, because they can't, I'm not giving them what they need to assess me. And it even, I think, could tie back to media and what you may see the black woman in media who's on television just for years and years, either very comedic and fun and outgoing and like the life of the party. And, you know, go back to Jack Hay Harry and people like that years ago. And then, or either she is angry or she's a badass or she's something, even though I think I'm a badass. But anyway, it may not come out like that. And so I got it. I was like, is that what it is? And then when I talk to other women, they say the same thing. And I was like, oh my God. But what I learned years ago was, I didn't know why people said it, but I knew that I needed to spend a little more time. I knew that I was being perceived that way. So if I'm being perceived that way, I need to do something about that, because I want this job. I got this job. I want to prove myself. I know I have what it takes. And so I learned, you know, how to maybe get a big win in the first 30 days and let everybody just calm down. She knows what she's doing. We got the right one. Mm-hmm. Even though she's not very talkative and she's not sharing every minute of her life. And so that's one thing that I talk about to people. We may have to have a little more effort, and I hate to say make others feel comfortable, but in essence, it's kind of like that. It's like, you know, you are coming into a situation. You are the stranger. You are the variable that's different. And if you want to stay in this role and want to show your best and do what you can, you have to recognize that you may be perceived in a negative way because of your intersectionality of those variables. I don't like it, but I like that I now kind of understand it. And after having talked to other women who've experienced the same thing, then that sort of confirms or validates it for me. And so I enjoy sharing that, and I'm hopeful that it will help people who are in those same situations. And also, I've talked to black men, Latina women who are introverts, and we all have these similarities. Also gay, so gay males, gay white males, and theirs is something interesting where the stereotypical gay white male or gay male may be very animated. And so for the introverted gay males that I've talked to, they're like, it's almost a disappointment. So I remember this one guy said that to me once his new company found out he was gay and married to a man. It's like they kept coming to him with like, are you going to do this? And where are you going to do this? And where are you going this weekend? And do you do drag? And do you go to drag? And it's so not cool, but I was just like blown away, and they were expecting more from him. They were expecting, and because he was introverted, he felt as if it was maybe even held against him, which is, it's a lot to take in, but that's what's happening.
Well, like, you know, again, going back to the topic of what society has told us about introverts and extroverts, society has also categorized, you know, gay white men in a certain category. They've categorized black women in a certain category. They've also considered black men who may identify as gay in a certain category. And so I think there's a common theme that society has done a lot of damage to a lot
yes,
of people.
Ma'am. Yes, doctor.
And so I think the beautiful thing is that we get to have these types of conversations
yes.
where it's not a sole answer.
Mm-hmm.
But it's at least getting people to reflect more on being much more smarter about what the world tells them
yes.
about people.
Yes.
And if you're open to it, you're going to learn a lot, right? We can't rewrite history, although we've seen many examples of people creating executive orders that are trying to do that. And they're not. And they're not. If I could say that any louder and any clearer.
Yes. I heard
and
you.
So I think the beautiful thing is that we get to talk about
yes.
how to think more deeply about human connection.
Yeah, we have so much to talk about.
Because it's a complex topic.
It is, but I love that we can talk positively about it, and it's part of who we are. It makes us so beautiful and so special, and it allows us to bring different perspectives, and we see things from a different lens, which is so great in the workplace. I have to keep going back to that since you became a vice president in third grade, you know, so you've been very successful in your career, and you know it's because of everything that you've experienced, you know, from your parent, you know, from your siblings, your aunts and uncles, because it sounds like you had a whole bunch of them.
Yeah,
you know?
And even as an only child, what's so crazy is that it felt like I had a home of siblings. All my little cousins.
They were like your brothers and sisters because they were always there. And all of that shaped who you are. And that's probably the biggest message. It doesn't matter which personality type or where you lean. The biggest message is, you know, you are perfect just as you are, but you have to recognize that and find your value and your worth. And if you can't find it at that workplace or with that spouse or somewhere else, and first find within yourself. But if you aren't being appreciated, then maybe it's time to move on. Because one thing I like to talk to companies about is, you know, understanding that you're dealing with a whole bunch of personality types. And if you're only creating an environment and opportunities for one type, you're missing out on probably half your brain power. If half of your team is introverted, but you're only catering to a different type, you're paying, but you're not getting what you could be getting if you considered that you need to create space for everyone, create a voice for everyone at the table, a seat at the table. So, yeah, it's just a lot to talk about here. I want to ask you, do you know what your strongest attributes are? What do you believe, you know, what makes you so special, Veronica?
Yeah, I know. Obviously, we never have enough time to talk about these things, but I always tell people there's only two things that I can offer to people.
Okay.
Only two.
I'm sure it's more. Okay, but I'm listening. We're listening.
I know how to communicate well, and I know how to listen. It's literally it. That's all I
can
give.
I love that.
And
that's all you need.
Through both of those qualities, I can be heard, and so can the other person, whether that's in friendships, it's at work. It's my students. It's the little humans that I get to meet whenever I go to their school or read a book. That's it. That's all I can give. And whether those qualities fit in being an introvert or an extrovert, it's navigating the complexities of humanhood. And I appreciate that I've been able to zero in on those two qualities because it's also a testament of my strengths, but also some of the weaknesses, too. And being able to label as a weakness. Maybe I communicate too much. Maybe I listen too much. It never knows, right?
Yeah.
But it's introspective because we have to be able to be scholars of ourselves. If we are smarter about ourselves, then we're smarter about all the things that come our way. The things that we say yes to, the things that we say no to, and also the things that we will probably say, maybe. But that's okay.
And that's okay. And you know the golfer thing that they say, you have no weaknesses, you only have strengths. And so I heard that the golfers, that sort of mentality is, there are no weaknesses out here. I'm just going to focus on these strengths because, you know, that's what matters and that will help me reach my goal. So I think that's all the time we have for, okay, I need to ask you for any advice. I mean, you kind of have given a lot in just what you said, but anything else that comes to mind that could be helpful to people who might be listening?
You know, my mother, she's always given me just like really great life lessons. And she has been someone that I've watched, you know, just work really hard ever since I was born. I can't stress it enough how grateful I am for her. And she would always say, you know, how important it is for you to be patient and for you to kind of be in a wait and see type of game. And I think being more patient with yourself and patient with other people, I think that's how we make healthier decisions in the long run. So I would say if somebody's been giving you some bad news and they've been framing you in a way that you know that you don't see yourself, just be a little more patient. And work on what those two strengths are. Because as I like to say, you know, you could be given a job description or you could be given something and it has maybe like 10 different things that you're responsible for. You know that you could probably do only maybe two or three of those things very, very well. And so if you focus on that same approach that you would take with a job description, or if you would take it with, you know, the role of being a mom, the role of being a dad, the role of just being a guardian of any sort, a teacher, be patient with yourself and identify those two things that you know that you could do really well. It takes a lot of patience to get there, but it's important for you to do that exercise today so that you don't have to do it later and that you're thinking, oh, wow, like, what am I good for? We never want people to have to constantly ask themselves that question. And I have to be honest, right? I can't leave this out. If you are someone that follows and makes decisions based on your faith, lean on that as well. Because my faith is very important to me. And so faith-based leadership is also a way that I make a lot of things happen. And so whatever that piece of faith may be for you or spirituality, lean on that as well and allow that to be the priority in how you make decisions and how you act instead of the more emotional piece of you that makes you make decisions that are probably irrational and not for the best interests of others beyond yourself.
Beautiful advice to all who are listening. Thank you so much, Dr. Veronica Appleton.
Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us about your books, how to follow you, any of that good stuff?
Of course, of course. Please find me at veronicaappleton.com. And if you want to check out any of my books, go to appleveillebooks.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on Hush Loudly.
Enjoying Hush Loudly? Please subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts and wherever you listen to us. Did you know Hush Loudly has t-shirts? Yep, show the world you're an introvert without saying a word. We also have t-shirts for the extroverts in our lives who need us. Go to hushloudly.com/shop.